coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites, HagmanReportLive.com. Please bookmark that website, HagmanReportLive.com and HagmanReport.com. Today is Tuesday, the 14th day of January, 2019. I want to thank everyone for your belief, your trust, your support in this platform. Again, HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanReport.com. And I appreciate coming to you into your homes, into your cars, workplaces every night, from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Thank you so very much. And of course, at Hagman Report Live, you've got the video there. We're also on YouTube as long as, for a while. By the way, we're not monetized on YouTube. Any ads you might see on YouTube, well, you know what? That's, YouTube, not us. I want to start off by thanking, someone very special, someone very, very special to me, who sent me a very, very, very nice gift. I don't want to give you your last name. Barbara, thank you so much. I'm wearing the gift, actually. You really can't see this, but what an incredible job this time is filled with German Shepherds. And as you know, folks, King, our iconic German Shepherd, is our logo and had been our logo for a long time, or at least that's the supportive logo of the Hagman Report. And King passed away from cancer a couple of years ago. But what a faithful dog. And we fashioned the program after King. And of course, our official channel is known as K9. An interesting play on words, K9, N-E-I-N, Northeast Intelligence Network, K9, meaning, of course, dogs and such. We love dogs. But Barbara, thank you so very, very much. And my heart goes out to you because Barbara had a dog named Boo. And Boo passed away. When that happens, it's rough. It's rough. I don't want to. Well, you know what? I'll just read the first paragraph here. Dear Doug, I know when I saw the German Shepherd head icon on your homepage on the Hagman Report that you were a man after my own heart. Up until this past May, when I lost my cherished dog, Boo, I had owned, bred, or shown German Shepherds since 1972. And she goes on to say that she's sad about the fact that Lady doesn't come on that much, Lady the studio dog. You know what, folks? Lady is actually camera shy, not at home, but in my office and at the studio. It's really strange. She's camera shy, and she knows when the cameras go on. Eric the tech, I mean, you've seen it. Theo, your dog is not so camera shy, but Lady is. So it's kind of it's interesting, though. And she usually lays right down here by the studio table, most of the time. But Theo, he comes right up and he loves the camera. Theo's a camera dog. Anyway, how you doing, Eric the tech? You doing well?
Doing good. We had a little power issue today.
Yes, we did. And that set us back a ways. And I apologize in advance in the event.
The studio was pitch dark when I walked in. Mm-hmm. And Doug was creepily sitting there in the corner.
Yes, I was. I was fuming a little bit. Unfortunately, we've got some generator power issues, or had some. The backup generator, of course, did not kick on, so we got to figure out what's going on with that. All right. Heading out right now. I went out. Touch on something. Well, you know what? First off, I want to talk about something that I briefly mentioned yesterday. But I've received a significant number of email inquiries asking for clarification on what I was talking about yesterday as I opened my show. And specifically, questions were about a movement. the resurgence, I should say, of a movement that, in my view, is causing a lot of damage to those individuals and groups involved in the legitimate fight against human trafficking and child sex trafficking. Look, folks, Pizzagate is real. Sadly, the name as it was used in a lot of the components that made up Pizzagate were deliberately misrepresented. Okay, so, and the same with Pedagate. You know, you go back to the Podesta emails and such. A lot of things were misrepresented and taken out of context, and really, it was just a mess. And I see the same thing happening here with respect to the legitimate organizations involved in the fight against human trafficking. And by the way, I will say this. The human trafficking is one large business all across the United States. It's a real problem. All right. But, with respect to what I was referencing yesterday, at the epicenter of this, damaging movement are a number of people and a couple of groups who are actively seeking followers and supporters for organizations that are not legitimate in the fight against child and human trafficking and sexual abuse and such. All right. We know we've got issues with child protective services in a number of different states. We know that. However, you cannot simply indict an entire, you've got to look at the area by area and case by case. You can't say, well, they're all bad. They're all involved. Everyone who, you know, every CPS agency is compromised entirely. No. Because I do know, I've got a contact with CPS here in my local area. Now, do I agree with them? No. Do I agree with their intent? I do. In theory, I think they started out, I suspect in theory they started out, with legitimate intent. But again, like everything else, you know, you get people involved in warring motives and warring issues. Look, bad things happen. All right. So, however, what I see taking place right now, again, at the epicenter of this damaging movement that I referenced yesterday, are several people and groups who are actively seeking supporters and followers and such for organizations that are not legitimate. And in so doing, they hurt legitimate movements. One entity in particular claims to be associated with the Pentagon. Now, as an investigator, I contacted individuals at the Pentagon, who absolutely deny the fact that any such organization exists and denounce the, such movements, saying that, you know, it hurts every, they agree, it hurts legitimate, groups. And, of course, I spoke with John Moore, and the Pentagon deals not with domestic issues, Department of Defense, not domestic issues, and certainly not this. All right. Now, having said that, what I found to be central to all of this is what has been known as the Sovereign Citizens Movement. As I mentioned yesterday, again, the two words don't fit together by definition, but that's what it's known as. You can't be a sovereign and a citizen at the same time, the Sovereign Citizen Movement. And when you look at the basis, some of the elements of the Sovereign Citizen Movement, now, there are certain parts that they're not wrong, okay? There are certain things that they are correct about. I'm just saying. But that's not anything meaningful when it comes to reality today. Okay. I was just taking some notes because I was just inundated with emails and such. Now, those who erroneously believe and perpetuate certain falsehoods, and especially with respect to the sovereign citizens movement, in quotation marks, in the broadest sense of that, people believe that, for example, that the current judiciary, our court system, our courts are unlawful, and they've got no power at the moment, which is ridiculous, that all of the power, because of the structure of the United States, is rests in the legislative branch. Well, no. Another example, and I see this all over the internet, and people are believing this. For example, the bar is an acronym for some British phrase. I'm not going to get into, you know, the British accreditation registry, and various iterations of that. It's not. What the bar is, it's a reference to that physical partition in a courtroom that separates the gallery from the judge and from the attorneys and such. Okay. It's not an acronym for anything. So if you see that, your spidey senses should go up right away. One popular, individual, I'll just say this, a very current cause celeb, is currently incarcerated, and they're saying he's incarcerated unlawfully and unjustly. As a matter of fact, he's depicted as a prisoner of war. And he's described as a foreign vessel in dry dock. These individuals believe erroneously, again, that our prisons, jails are vessels in dry dock. They cite admiralty law, maritime law, under martial law, which they claim that the United States is in. Now, again, this makes my head hurt. It's, you know, that we're in a state of martial law, okay? And again, prisons are actual ships in dry dock and such, and the gold fringe on the flags, it means something. And there's a postmaster of the world that's really in charge of everything. If I go on, I don't want to go on, because again, it makes my head hurt when you start unpacking all of these lies. Now, again, there are certain things, none of which I've mentioned, there are certain things that are legitimate in terms of our constitution and our laws and such, that certain spokespeople or certain, I shouldn't say spokespeople, certain people who believe in the sovereignty of an individual, they're not wrong about. But again, I'm not going to get into that here. But I mentioned the one individual in jail, and there's another individual that has a warrant out for his arrest, this supposed award-winning journalist, okay? Again, signing things like, believe in me, I'm with the high command and such. It's just, to me, it's ridiculous. But I've got to address this, because what I see taking place are people who believe this, and in turn, they defame and they cause a lot of collateral damage, in addition to making themselves and the conservative movement a little bit, hey, you guys look wacky, right? We're not wacky. No. And I don't believe any of that. Now, look, they may be well-intended, and if they are, God bless them. But right now we've got a system of laws. Unfortunately, the system of laws don't apply to us all, apparently, as we've seen. And I am a believer that people like Hillary Rodham Clinton, Barack Obama, Loretta Lynch, and everyone, and I don't care if it extends into the current administration, it is my belief that if they have broken the law, they should answer to their offenses. It doesn't matter what their stature of life, what their stature is in life. If equal justice under the law, equal justice to her. You remember that. That's still a thing. And we're still calling for that. Not special justice, but equal justice. But in going one level deeper, and then I'm going to stop with this, is the fact that, I feel very bad. As I researched this and as I got into this, there's a female attorney in Broward County, Florida, who has been subjected to the most hideous and heinous accusations ever. When you, as an investigator, as I researched these things, and I looked at not just the available evidence, but evidence that's not available necessarily on open source, I learned that, hey, things are not, I mean, this woman has suffered incredibly from the actions of a few individuals. And these few individuals are actually recruiting others to go after this attorney in Florida. And the reason I'm not mentioning any names, I don't want to give any oxygen to the people. Although that you might know who I'm talking about, I don't want to give them oxygen. I don't want to give them air. But folks, understand this, okay? There are actions that have consequences, real-life consequences. Just ask the individual who's in jail in Wisconsin. Now, why is he in jail? He's classified as a prisoner of war, a political prisoner. And it sounds good, doesn't it? No. That individual's in jail for violating a restraining order, and people will say, well, I don't see a criminal case associated with a case number associated with a restraining order. Folks, to those people, I say, you better understand the court system a little bit more than you do. Because different states and commonwealths have different systems. For example, if you have a restraining order because of the structure of the court system in Florida, for example, it goes through the family court, so you're not going to find it in the normal criminal court. And that's a very basic explanation. I know people are going to say, well, that's wrong because of this and that. Look, that's a broad brush explanation. All right. That doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It does exist, just not where you're looking. But when you have people who are making threats and the individual in jail is in jail for threatening the life of this attorney. And I've got the video and the audios to prove it. That's not good. And then you've got then to make matters worse, you have the postmaster of the world now. I don't know how you get that job. Apparently, Eric the Tech, do you have any idea how you get the job postmaster of the world? I don't know. Eric's hitting his head on the top of the computer over there. He sent documents to the incarcerated individual, and this individual was supposed to get the physical documents, sign one document, and you ready for this? Lick the document. It's my understanding, or put a stamp, lick a stamp, or put his DNA on the document. And somehow magically, that would compel his release from incarceration while he's awaiting extradition to Florida. Sounds right, doesn't it? Yeah. Sounds logical to me. No. And again, just to kind of wrap this up with a bow, and I hope I don't have to address this anymore. BAR is not an acronym for anything. The sovereign citizen movement that's overtaking, or apparently overtaking and infusing with this movement of illegitimate organizations that proclaim to save the children, when the backers, the individuals who are a part of that, don't even get off the couch and they stay in their pajamas or whatever every day, or regurgitate headlines at best about organizations that do fight against child trafficking. They are taking away, not just taking away from the legitimate organizations, but they are also contaminating they're contaminating the movement. They're contaminating the legitimacy of what we are trying to do, what Craig Sawyer is trying to do, what Russ Dizdar is trying to do. And that's where the problem was. So I wanted to clarify that. I don't know if that does clarify anything, but hopefully you can get a kind of a window peek of the insanity behind this. And I'm looking at the people. I'm thinking there's 80,000 here, 20,000 here, 15. They're following this. And by the way, the documents I referenced, look, they never made it to where they were scanned in. They were scanned in the prison system and afforded to that inmate by way of scanned mail. And, of course, right away, well, that's tampering with the mail. Oh, help me. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. That individual got his mail. And no, licking it and signing it is not going to magically give you get out of jail free card. So I want to alert everyone to this. And this is why we have to be very careful. And I want to be sincere about this. We have to be very careful of who we follow on the internet and what we listen to. I had an occasion where a colleague of mine was talking about a specific thing, and one of our listeners actually sent me an email saying, hey, wait a minute, he's got some wrong information here. And I sent it over to him. I said, please, take a look at this. Evaluate the information that you received and just double check your facts. And of course, hopefully, I haven't checked, Bob, Maggie, I haven't checked, but hopefully, that's been taken care of. And if not, we'll make sure it is. But see, it's important not to be first in information, but to be correct. I just wanted to get that out there. Because too, this is the other thing, having just, written and sent the proceed checks to Vets for Child Rescue and Russ Dizdar. You know, look, we sell a coffee line, and this is not a commercial. This is all I'm just saying is this, the timing of this. We came out with Hagman Coffee, and we figured, boy, what a great way to help organizations like Russ's and Craig's and help us to fund this operation, because we too are involved in some boots on the ground work, investigations, and in the supportive role of various organizations that actually do incarcerate individuals responsible for child sex trafficking. Okay? Look, I'm a licensed investigator. I've been licensed for 35 years. I don't have one blemish on my license. Not one. Not one. I didn't fall off the turnip truck just yesterday. Okay. So, and I've been in, and I've testified in all venues, federal court, state court, municipal court. I even testified in the school board and liquor control board and all these venues. So I've got a general understanding of how things work. And on the investigative side too, there are times when you talk about things. For example, you talk about things, you talk about, there are times when the press, when you can kind of push out nuggets of information and the press picks up on it and they run with it. And it has an effect on the bad guys. Okay. There are times that happens. Controlled releases of information. It's beautiful when it works, and it used to work a lot better before the our legacy media went completely insane. But there are times when you keep your mouth shut for operational security measures and reasons, especially if you're in the middle of an operation. And I can tell you right now, there are several operations going on. I know with Craig's organization and with Russ's group and here, we've got a number of organizations, boots on the ground. Boots on the ground. So, all right, I wanted to get that stated. Now, I received an email. I'm going to pull this up here. This, I'm going to read this kind of almost, not verbatim, but I'm going to heavily reference this. Where is it? Boy, I should print these out, right? Yes, I should print these out. Eric's over there going, yeah, you should. This is about Virginia. Okay. I've got to actually get my text bigger. Eric, I'd have you come over here and tell me how to do that. How do you get your text bigger on this? We're going to break. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report, and then Eric can come over and help me. Again, thank you, Barbara, for this wonderful tie, German Shepherds. This is really my favorite tie now. Yeah, how beautiful. God bless you, and, you know, I think about Boo, but going to be right back. HagmanReport.com, HagmanReportLive.com. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly.
And welcome back. Thanks for hanging with me over the network break. Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com, HagmanReportLive.com. Before the break, I was talking about an email I got, and I was speaking earlier today, actually this morning, to America's coach, Coach Dave Dobmeier. Now, Coach Dave Dobmeier is going to be, along with a group of others, in Richmond, Virginia, this coming Monday at the rally in front of the State House, this to object to the anti-Second Amendment push by the leftist legislature being sworn in as a result of the elections, right? So, you know, elections have consequences. Now, I do understand, please, I understand how elections are fixed, you know, that the black box voting and the, well, I spoke about the Battle of Athens, but it's just 21st century kind of stuff now. Especially with the voting machines. But Coach Dave Dobmeier is going to be there to make his and stand for all of us to make our voices heard, saying no, no. You know, he says something very interesting, which kind of really dovetails with this and another email I received. He said something very interesting to me today. He said, you know, Christians seem to be very ambivalent about guns and about gun ownership. And it was after we got off the phone together, I was thinking about this. Boy, he couldn't be more right. He couldn't be more correct. Very, you know, I don't want to say non-caring, but certainly not caring sufficiently, many, not all, but many, to not make their voices known. Now, Coach Dave Dobmeier and his group of individuals, CoachDaveLive.com is his website. They're going to be in Richmond to show their support for the Second Amendment. And he said this too. He said, you know, it's really the NASCAR crowd who really is going to make the difference. There are going to be more NASCAR crowd type people than there are Christians. And we as Christians should look at Virginia, at least in my view, we should look at Virginia as an important battleground line in the sand. CoachDaveLive.com. That's his website. And I asked him if he needed more personnel. He said, no more personnel. He's got a solid group of people who are going to be attending the Richmond rally, which I think is very, very good. We need to show our support. Everyone in America, folks, every conservative in America, in my view, myself included, Eric the Tech included, we need to support the conservatives, the Christian conservative, outspoken pro Second Amendment people of Virginia. We need to do that. Either in person or by mail, make a phone call, whatever you need to do, whatever we have to do, we have to, in my view, support them. We cannot afford to lose this battle. And by the way, I am not a believer, and this is me, I don't believe that we should allow the courts to decide this. Okay. And I know that we had some conversation with John yesterday and he feels the same way, maybe not expressed that way. You know, it would be years before this is litigated, possibly years, depending on certain things, but it shouldn't even be a matter for the courts. It is a God-given right delineated in the United States Constitution. Yes, our Constitution. No, there's not another one. Okay, that in reference to what I was talking about earlier, that we have the right to bear arms. And the purpose of the Second Amendment, as we all know, is so we have the common use weaponry available to us against a rogue government. I know all of the, you know, all of the arguments. Well, you want nuclear weapons. No. What we have available to us in common and current use. All right. Anyway, to that end, two emails in particular, I'm going to cite from this one first. This gentleman, I'm sorry, it actually came from a woman. The other one came from a gentleman. Pam wrote that she attended a gun show this past weekend in Virginia. And I'm not going to give the cities away or anything like that. And she has a friend who works a booth at the specific shows all over the Southeast. And they share interesting conversations, her and her friend. Couple things right now. There was an individual who worked the show in Richmond on January 4th and 5th. And people, you know, at the door, they took tickets as the attendees entered. They checked tickets. This particular show was in a sports complex or kind of a gymnasium environment. And it was actually two floors. And on the second floor, there was kind of an open area that was kind of off limits, but the long and short of it is this. There was somebody on the second floor taking video and photographs of everyone coming in and coming out, taking photographs and video of the crowd, making people kind of nervous. Did this for an extended period of time. Got a lot of people. There was a concern there. What was it for? Facial recognition purposes? Anyway, keep that in the back of your mind. I'm going to just put a period there. And then this next part of the email which was substantiated by another email I received. So I'm just going to combine the two. This, the other one I received from a male in Richmond. Ron, thank you. And this, the, both Ron had witnessed and in fact reported to police individuals that appeared to be, and there are, appeared to be members of Antifa. Now, how do you know that by appearance? Well, you wouldn't know it by appearance. I'm not going to get into how that was determined. Okay. Ron asked me not to, so I'm not going to do that. But there, Antifa, members of Antifa. Now, the other, another group that was there in Richmond were obvious MS-13 members. Okay. Now that you can identify pretty well by, body markings, by certain other things. So anyway, and what one police officer had stated was their investigation revealed that their targets, at least in this case, were the unoccupied vehicles or the vehicles that will be unoccupied where the drivers will be at the rally or at a rally or away, otherwise away from their vehicles. And that includes buses looking for and looting the stuff inside the vehicles, hoping to find, for example, a gun, ammunition, whatever it might be, money, valuables, whatever it might be. And then there was, in addition to all of this, members of Antifa and MS-13, as well as paid, listen to this, not paid protesters, are going to be there on the 20th to start, obviously, in an attempt to start trouble. Now, this is where the information gets a little murky. I can't give you a lot of information. I don't have authenticated, actual verified information. However, the intent here is to prompt or cause a legitimate licensed firearm carrier to draw his or her weapon and to fire his or her weapon. Okay, that's the objective here. So as long as you know what's going, this, now, where did I get that information from? This from the interview from one of the people arrested for actually the criminal trespass based on where this individual was at, in Richmond in advance of the rally. So, in exchange for the information, apparently there was bail granted later or whatever it might have been. But the information came from that person. And where I'm getting the information from is from a law enforcement source. So what I'm telling you is they're going – and obviously this is nothing that you don't already know, I suspect. But they will attempt to goad people, bait people into situations where they're going to have to fight back. And I just thought, you know, look, Coach – pray for Coach Dave Dobmeier. Pray for the people going to the rally. And let's be supportive. And by the way, I'm working an after-action report, I'm sure, from Coach Dave Dobmeier. So I wanted to bring that up because I think this is extremely, very, very important with respect to the this is very important with respect to our safety. Because you know how the press will paint this picture. Gun-toting, gun-humping, gun-loving, Bible-thumping, smelly Walmart kind of people attending a rally and shooting other people, you know, causing trouble, and then reaffirming the need for sensible gun control. That's where it's all at. And again, I didn't have to really get into state that, but this is verification that I received. This is from the horse's mouth, the individual who was part of the investigation on the ground, as well as supportive emails related to that. Now, you want to know where the left wants us? Breitbart Today, an article on Breitbart. Project Veritas, Bernie Sanders, field organizer. This is, oh man, take a look on your screen. suggests gulags to help Nazified Trump voters. Today, earlier today, an undercover video was published by Project Veritas. Shows a field organizer for Sanders for their 2020 campaign saying that Soviet gulags were actually a positive phenomenon, suggesting that some similar program could re-educate the supporters of President Trump and even billionaires. Now, as this report states, the video itself begins with Project Veritas journalist asking an individual identified as Sanders organizer Kyle Jurek if MAGA people could be re-educated if Bernie wins the White House. Oh, we gotta try, he said. In Nazi Germany, after the fall of the Nazi Party, there was a ton of the populace that was Nazified. And those are bad words, of course. And you can see it. There's an embedded video there in that Breitbart article. You know, we can't afford to be laughed at here. I don't, when it comes to things like this, are you serious? Paul Begley comes to mind. Are you serious? I mean, think about what Larry Grathwall had stated. Larry Grathwall, a friend of mine, a friend of the program, talked to him. Bill Ayers infiltrated Weather Underground. Think about what he had said in his meetings in Buffalo, New York, and other places with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn and the Weather Underground saying, you know, we're going to have to re-educate the people like us, like you and I. And if that doesn't work, we have to exterminate. Folks, these people are serious. And I think the mistake would be is to not take them seriously. They believe in this. So who are the Nazis here? Now, you think Project Veritas, you think that this is going to, hopefully this will be seen by, you know, by everybody. But sadly, we have a social media where things like this get censored and it doesn't get, you know, you can't pass it around. But I guess what I'm saying is these people are absolutely serious. Another thing too, and I saw this and I want to make sure everyone was aware of this because we have a strong Christian bias here because this, when I use that phrase, I know people, to me, I kind of cringe because that sounds very pejorative, but it's not. Because we look at things from the news and current events from a Christian perspective. I don't know how many people have saw this, but the evangelical immigration table. Have you seen this? Well, that's a creation of George Soros. It's Soros-backed. Just think of it this way. When an organization, whether it's Christian or regardless of the religious roots, if they are backing open immigration, open border policies, there is a very significant chance that George Soros is at the end of the money bag, money trail. He's holding the money bag. There was an article in the NOQ report, NOC report, that talks about this. Where in this particular report, it's the author writes that it came to the attention of the Capstone report that it was possible that the Midwest Baptist Theological Seminary president, Jason Allen, lobbied Governor Mike Parsons to participate in the refugee resettlement program. Now, here's what you have to remember, too. These, in addition to being Soros-backed and funded, these evangelical movements who embrace these refugee programs and policies are themselves funded oftentimes by the government, okay? But this particular accusation was actually corroborated by Jason Allen's support for evangelicals' immigration table. The Capstone report had shown evidence that the evangelical immigration table had been lobbying for governors to participate in the refugee resettlement program via Christianity Today. Remember that entity, that magazine? Okay. Anyway, this is something that I think that we have to look at, understand that every movement that's out there, every, in my view anyway, nearly, a high percentage, I won't give any, but a very high percentage of the movements, the conservatives, the Christians, a very high percentage have been infiltrated by people who don't see things the way we see things. All right. Whose objectives and motives are not ours, not like ours. All right. So. Again, understand where things like this are coming from. All right. A couple of other things here. Let me go through this. I don't know how many people remember at the epicenter of my legal troubles and Steve Quayle's legal troubles. Was an event that took place a number of years ago at my office when I was on the telephone as I was reporting on Benghazi. When I was on the telephone and I hung up the phone after having two conversations, and a ringback took place, or what I thought was a ringback, and I looked on my caller ID and it said NSA Utah Data Recording Center, the abbreviation for that. Okay, and at any rate, back then, I didn't have a camera at the ready. I didn't have a cell phone. You know how I am with cell phones, right? So I couldn't snap a picture of it, and I couldn't save that image on my phone. And I had picked up that ringback, by the way, and I heard like the tail end of a recording that sounded like a male mechanical voice file capture saying the file's been captured or something to that effect, But the reason I bring this up, because I didn't have any evidence to support this, my assertions, I did write up a statement and I did swear in front of a municipal court judge that my statement was correct and true and such, and I wasn't making it up. And by the way, why would I even make that up? All right. And subsequent to that, I was accused of lying, that this was a lie. That never happened. Well, let me tell you something, folks. It did happen. It did happen. I remember people back then saying, oh, yeah, come on. You know, you're full of beans. This is government spying on me. What are you, nuts? Some people, not everyone. Can I prove it happened right now? No, I can't. How am I? Anyway, so. Cheryl Atkinson appeared with Glenn Beck. And again, if you don't like the messengers, if you don't like, it's not about Glenn Beck. It's about the message. It's about the information. Cheryl Atkinson appeared with Glenn Beck and talking about an incident. And I'm sure you know what happened to Cheryl Atkinson in real time. She witnessed, her computer being jimmied with remotely, right? In addition to other things, planning stuff on her computer and stuff. But that happened a number of years ago as well. Now, look, I'm no Cheryl Atkinson, and why people would even remotely be interested in what I had to say, I'm telling you, I'm not one to say, boy, you know, what I've got is like critically important. And of course the government would spy. No. But the fact of the matter is I saw this, and if they can do this to me, and if they're doing this to me, what are they doing to all of us? And I think headlines, and I'm asking you, haven't headlines pretty much borne out the fact that every one of us is being spied on? That every one of us is part of the surveillance apparatus or subjected to the surveillance apparatus by the NSA or a government agency? Look at President Trump. Look at what he has endured in his campaign. So, I would urge you to watch the Glenn Beck. I'll put the link in the program description box. But what I like to do, Eric, do we have that ready or not? Okay. Between now and the top of the hour break, I'd like to play as much of this interview as possible. And with my thanks to The Blaze and Glenn Beck, of Cheryl Atkinson relaying the information to Glenn Beck about what happened. And then it'll cut off, and then you can pick it up. The link will be, again, it'll be in the program description box, not on YouTube. No, at HagmanReportLive.com. Okay. And before I cut you loose or before the next hour, again, I want to just let everyone know HagmanStore.com. 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 Oh, gourmet coffee. Gourmet coffee. Oh, how good it is. Gourmet coffee. Detective's Choice. This is my go-to. This is highly caffeinated. All right. It's highly caffeinated. Comes in bean, ground, and K-cups. Then there's Patriot Blend and Revolution Blend. Again, ground, bean, and K-cup. And you could also, if you want to, subscribe to the, like a routine delivery. But try it out first. Significant proceeds of this goes to organizations. It helps fund the fight against child and human sex trafficking. So, all right, let's go to the Glenn Beck tape or video right now, and we'll let it play, and then we'll be back on the other side.
She's the host of Full Measure with Cheryl Atkinson, and she joins us now. Welcome to the program, Cheryl.
Why, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So everybody said, well, not everybody, the press made you look like a loon and a crazy person when you were reporting the facts on Benghazi. And then I'll never forget the video that you took. Maybe you were in a hotel room or something. I can't remember exactly, but I remember you having on your phone tape of someone turning on your computer and I think deleting things from your computer. Was that what was happening?
Well, that was way after the initial forensics and discovery of the government intrusion on a third computer. Yes, while I was working, there was a remote access and hyper-quick deletion before my very eyes of something that is not possible to do by holding down a key yourself or anything like that. And yes, Media Matters launched an effort to talk to a supposed forensics expert who'd never looked at any of these computers, who declared I was holding down my backspace key or that it was stuck, and therefore none of the computer intrusion story was true, and it was all just, you know, sort of made up craziness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it took hold as much as they hoped. I mean, that was widely reported in the liberal press, but I do think most people understood we have and had the forensics that prove the government intrusion from the start. And now, as you said, we have a former federal agent involved in the surveillance who has admitted being part of it and helped us with some information.
Okay, so tell me how that came about. How did you get this? How did this guy flip or this woman flip? And why?
The lawsuit that I fought for about 6 years at great expense with the government fighting every step of the way, so I never got a page of discovery, was ultimately dismissed last year with the main judge, although there was a great dissenting judge who disagreed, but the main judge saying, I should have the names of the agents, not just the forensic proof showing the government did it. I needed to know the names of the people who were involved. And we argued we can't do that unless we get discovery. So it was this horrible loop.
Right.
But we put out sort of an all call for information because we were at a dead end, if that's what was required. And we were contacted by a number of people that had been vetted, not by me. So I have limited information, but my attorneys have been researching and vetting people for 4 to 5 months. And as for motivation, I don't know, except it could be, you know, these are shady characters involved in doing this. You can imagine the federal agents who'd be willing to do illegal surveillance on lots of Americans, according to this information, not just me. That's all along why this was important. It wasn't because of me. But one of the people we name in the lawsuit is a former Secret Service agent who's in prison for other government corruption already. So these are the kinds of people you're dealing with that you have to sort through the truth and sort through their information. And my vetters think that they have very good information now. Will it be enough to convince the judge to let us open this case with the names? I don't know.
So, Cheryl, it would be kind of comforting to know that these were all rogue agents. But do you believe that that is true? Is that what the evidence is showing you, that these might be all rogue agents, or was there coordination?
There was, according to our information, coordination out of a sort of a task force, you could call it, run out of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Baltimore at the time under then U.S. Attorney Rod Rosenstein, with a task force of people that included FBI, Secret Service, contractors that were tasked sometimes to ATF, DEA, Secret Service, and FBI. This is a group that, and I believe this is just my theory based on information I have from people who work on the inside. There are numerous dark groups that do work like this, totally outside the FISA process. I mean, people have asked whether FISA warrants should be approved, but we knew all along there was no FISA warrant on me. I had sources that told me that. So we knew all along that the spying on me was done outside the system entirely, sort of this extra legal system that happens, yes, I believe, with the knowledge of important people inside the Department of Justice. Therefore, Glenn, we're at this loggerheads where no matter what we know, even if the guys bring themselves in handcuffs to me or to the government, to the courts, if Department of Justice doesn't want to hear it, doesn't want to prosecute themselves, it still goes nowhere. Unless there's, I guess, somehow enough public pressure for people to say, do something.
So the Justice Department, I mean, we've lost justice and intelligence in this country in more ways than one. But those two departments, I think, are really, really screwed up. They were turning a blind eye at best. But I think the corruption starts at the very, very top. Is there any indication to you that any of this stuff, because, I mean, Trump is paying the price for this kind of corruption himself right now. Is there any clue that this stuff is going to be cleaned up? Is there anybody that is going to ride into the rescue here?
So far, sadly, no. I mean, nothing has changed for us in fighting our lawsuit at Department of Justice between the Obama administration and the Trump administration. The same people are still fighting it. They don't seem to care about the forensics, which, again, these are undeniable forensics. It's not something you can dispute as to whether the government software and the government's IP addresses were involved. They're still fighting it instead of doing the obvious, which they should say, boy, this is serious. We need to get to the bottom of who may have done this. They're, you know, in essence, covering up and obstructing. And I
All right. That was Cheryl Atkinson being interviewed by Glenn Beck. Folks, the link, again, HagmanReportLive.com. I think it's important for you to hear the entire article or hear the entire interview. There's only, I don't know, a minute or two left. And even the extended portion at the Blaze. Okay, so I think the important part here, at least in my view, what she said was, the same thing Judicial Watch has found. I find it interesting that even after nearly 1,100 days of President Donald Trump being in office, and today is day number 1,090, even after that much time, you still have deep state operatives infiltrating and infiltrated the Department of Justice and other offices within our government. And think about what Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch has talked about. He is suing our government for information about President Trump's political opponents. They are political opponents, ideological opponents, uncovering all sorts of corruption. And who is he suing? Who are the defendants here? The individuals within the Trump administration, Now, is that an indictment on President Trump? Not necessarily. No. I mean, we have a big country and a huge bureaucracy for government. But think about that. When Judicial Watch is actually doing what the IG should be doing, and you heard Cheryl Atkinson say there, well, sadly, no, this is still going on. And no, you know, it's not getting any better. So those people who are looking for perp walks frog marches of those involved. I mean, you heard her say, look at head of the Baltimore field office, Rod Rosenstein. Where's the justice here? And we always hear, and in closing, we always hear, well, hey, we have to have patience, or there's a plan, you know, trust the plan. Look, and that's a reference to the Q movement, QAnon, Q movement. Folks, look, I really want to believe that there is a plan. I mean, my heart of hearts, I really do. And I applaud, now listen to me, I applaud what the Q movement has done in terms of awakening others, or at least urging others to ask questions. I applaud that. But where I have a problem is substituting this kind of a live action role-playing game where everyone is trusting the plan that, hey, it's going to get done. Kind of, I've used the example before. You have a teenage boy. Hey, go clean up the garage. Hey, dad, trust me, I'll take care of it. Right? Trust me, I'll take care of it. I'll get it done. Well, it never gets done. Or maybe you're a boss and you give an order out to your employees, and you know, somebody else says, well, he's going to take care of it. No, that person's going to take care of it. Well, it never gets done. Right? So where my problem lies, where it exists, is I don't want to be busy trusting anything. I want to be busy making sure that we have equal justice, that justice is applied, that investigations are being conducted, that litigation is being conducted, and that people are answering for crimes they have committed. I want to see our government taken back. So that's where I'm at. And you heard, again, Cheryl Atkinson say, nah, it ain't happening. And you can hear Tom Fenton saying, we're suing government lawyers, you know, employed by the Trump administration. We're suing them because they're putting roadblocks up against the information that would actually be favorable for President Trump, indirectly or consequentially. So that's the issue. And is there government spying? Without a doubt. Without a doubt, you know that. I just found that the reason I spent so much time, and I really want to kind of focus on that. Folks, everything that you do, whether it's Facebook, social networking, every tweet that you write, it's forever. It's forever. Unlike the 33,000 deleted emails, which really aren't deleted, but okay. But it's forever. The social credit score people talk about, oh, that's the, you know, conspiracy stuff. No, look, it's coming. So everything you type, everything that you, your phone conversations, it's all being collected. Your facial features, facial recognition is being employed everywhere. Just about, by the way, my security cameras at my studio, Eric the tech, my gosh, he's talking about a smart guy. Don't be the headhunters out there. Don't be trying to get Eric the tech away from here. Facial recognition on the security cameras. That's right. So I know a block, but not a block. I know, 20 yards away who's coming into the studio. It's interesting to see it all work out. And that segues nicely into Standale, standale.com. Standale's got just a terrific website. If you haven't gone there, please do so. In fact, bookmark his website, standale.com.
The reason I say it is Holly works tirelessly every single morning. 99.9% of the time gets up. I mean, she's up at 4 a.m, which is quite early, even earlier than that. She's up posting headlines and links that she thinks and Stan thinks that you should know. What a great, plus some original content and, of course, appearing every Tuesday evening right here on the Hagman Reporter Stan Dale and the show images page. Go to standale.com, click on the show images page, and follow along, play along at home with us, with Stan Dale. And be sure, folks, to support Stan Dale on Patreon. Go to Stan Dale's Patreon page or standale.com, and you'll find the links. And front and center on today's show images page is a link to the Daily Mail. Mysterious hums detected world traced magna reservoir Indian Ocean. That's the, you'll see it up there. That's the URL or the hyperlink. Anyway, interesting article, and I'm not sure where he wants to start, but Stan, oh, by the way, EMP Shield, use, right there on the show images page, use Hagman as the code. You got to get one of these. You got to. I'm telling you, for your home, for your car, buy one for your mother-in-law, buy one for your mom, buy one for your child. If you got 10 kids, buy 10 of them, but use code Hagman. There it is right there. Eric the Tech, give us a URL.
It is empshield.com/Hagman, which automatically adds the discount to the cart, or use promo code Hagman.
Told you. I just want to get him on. I just want to make him, he had a move to do that, so I want to make him do that. Stan, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, good, guys. The thing with the hum, do you remember, I guess it was about a couple of years ago, you and I did a show on that?
Yes. When I saw that earlier today, I got to tell you, Stan, I was looking for that show. I'm going to find it before I hit the rack tonight.
Well, I tried to find it too. It's back there somewhere in that time period, but people were saying, oh, you know, listen to this video. It's taken. It's a hum here and in Russia and, you know, Europe, and people all over the world were hearing this series of hums. Now, some of them could be traced to industrial machinery nearby that set up resonant vibrations in the local neighborhood. But the rest of them were unable to explain, and scientists were at a loss until this year, in fact, till this month. And they released a report, which is in image 52. If you click on that image, you'll see it says, strange hums heard around the world. Now, I'm using a map from July the 12th, 2018, but when you and I did that show, I said, these hums they're hearing when I listened to them sounded like trumpets, very long trumpets like you used in, you know, Samaria and Babylon, that kind of stuff, you know, like that. And they were making these vibrating sounds that were low frequency. So I said, look, you got to find an instrument, a big instrument that's like a long tube doing that. And that would be existing volcanic tubes, you know, that are cool, perhaps, cool in fact, and they're starting to warm up, and magma's starting to flow up them slowly, and as it does, it sticks along the side and causes dragging of this slow-moving magma, which would generate the vibrations that are then amplified by such a, you know, a tube, a lava tube that's cool, with, you know, coming up a vent in a volcano. Finding the ones that did it became more problematic, as we discussed in the show, because this could happen hundreds of miles away. Well, as it turns out, the report said the scientists have used tracking instrumentation to find out where this one particular kind of hum is coming from. And it was from, in this map you can see there in slide 52, you can see Africa, and there is a yellow circle down at the Gulf of Aden. And just south of that's a little island off the coast of Africa, which is Madagascar. And in between Madagascar and Africa there, South Africa or Southeast Africa, is a place where, there's a volcano in process, a very slow process, off the island of Mayotte. In slide 53, you can click on that and get a blow-up of that to see where Mayotte is. And this is a site which was formed a long time ago, this area here, by an asteroid impact, which roughed up the sea bottom. And this was, you know, after the flood, which, you know, we saw the separation of the continents and various things split off like Madagascar. But it's a huge deposit of magma flowing. Look at slide 54 and click on that. Now this gives you a cross section look at this magma reservoir. It's down about 6 to 8 miles deep. Just roughly, it's 10 to 15 kilometers down, diameter, but it's down there. And it's coming up, into, the east side and the seafloor of the island of Mayotte. And this slow movement up this long kind of coolish chamber or tunnel is what's causing this vibrating hum. But the incredible thing is that this is going all over the planet. It's setting up resonances in other areas, which are, I assume, cool areas that pick up the vibration from this and start to amplify it. But it's just incredible that this one little area here with this big magma reservoir, and it's scooting slowly up toward the surface, is creating all this hum and has been for a couple of years. Now, the current newspaper reports are saying that there's an increase. In fact, you can look on our standio.com webpage about the increase in volcanic activity. And, you know, if you've missed the news the last couple of days, you've missed a lot of volcanic action around the Ring of Fire, you know, in the south, west and south, and just pure south fault lines along through Japan down through to New Zealand of earthquakes and volcanoes. And then you see in Ecuador over on South America, an earthquake is occurring with a volcanic eruption at La Cumbre, which means the rise of the plateau, the raised up area. And you see in the Philippines, there's 500,000 people that are in danger with the spew of lava coming out of a volcano there. You can click on those links and see. In fact, the picture that's with the article is quite impressive. It's kind of an orangey brown cloud coming up from that particular volcano, and don't know why it's that color, but certainly it's one of many. In Manila, thousands of people are fleeing, you know, that's in the Philippines area there. So all these volcanoes tend to be active right now at the same time. And normally we do have a number of volcanoes active around the planet. You can see it on the site that chases and lists the state of eruption of the various volcanoes on the planet. But why? You know, why are these happening? Why are they so strong? And if you look at that article there, there's one which I don't think it's in my show images page, but it's called "Why Are Volcanoes All Over the Globe Suddenly Shooting Giant Clouds of Ash Miles into the Air?"
It's on your front page, by the way, standeo.com, folks, front page. Just
is that where it is?
Right. It's from the site End of the American Dream. And you are correct. The title is "Why Are Volcanoes All Over the Globe Suddenly Shooting Giant Clouds of Ash Miles into the Air?"
All right. Yeah. Well, and also last week we talked about Puerto Rico and the thousands of earthquakes they were having there. Plus, you know, they were getting stronger instead of, you know, being aftershocks getting smaller. These were getting, you know, stronger as aftershocks, which is backwards to the normal way it goes. And, you know, it's plate tectonics in that area. So scientists are all confused or puzzled about how to explain why this is occurring. And, you know, all I can say is I think that the pressure that has been containing a lot of these magma pools and stabilizing earthquake potentials, that the pressure on the surface, the crust of the Earth, is being relieved by an expansion of the planet itself. Why that's happening is a long discussion, but it signals to me that we're going to see a lot of volcanoes and a lot of earthquakes, series types, all along these known fault lines and tectonic borders. And we may, you know, sometime soon here in the next few years, see the great earthquake that the Bible speaks of. I'm thinking probably Richter 10 or 2-11, something really strong, that will absolutely rock the planet and shake all the fault lines around the planet along the tectonic borders and probably inland in some places like the United States on the West Coast. that this is going to happen, I'm pretty sure, because these are precursors to massive expansion, you know, relieving of pressure on the crust of the Earth. I think this is a normal process. I'm not blaming it on, you know, global warming or that kind of stuff, but it's a normal process.
So, because I was, when I was looking at this earlier and thinking about this, the expansion of the Earth, the crust is allowing this, in part, allowing this to happen, right?
Yeah, I think so. That's my opinion based on the research. Yeah.
Okay.
And sinkholes. I mean, we've talked about that before. Sinkholes have been appearing for the last 10 years or so in increasing numbers. And these, again, you know, indicate to me that the crust of the Earth, where it's normally like sidewise pressure, you know, from just, you know, gravity, that for some reason or another, this pressure is being relieved because the surface, the crust of the Earth is expanding. And it can only expand if the diameter of the planet is increasing. And we're seeing that, you know, the more sinkholes, the more volcanoes, the more earthquakes and you know, well, sinkholes that are huge, like, you know, cavernous things like we saw in Mexico not long back. It's going to increase, I'm pretty sure.
Wow. Can you, Stan, this sounds going to, it's going to sound like a weird question. Can you have lava eruption without a volcano?
I don't know why I thought of that, but. Well, it's true. It's not as common as you might think, but what happens is if the magma pool is not sealed in and it's kind of not, you know, bottled so that it builds up ahead, you know, of pressure, then it will ooze out. And that's a type of volcano, but it's kind of a slow eruption, which allows the volcano magma to just come up over the edge of it and roll downhill and cool. Now, you see that kind of activity in Hawaii now. So yeah, you can have it without a super duper eruption.
All right. Yeah. I was kind of thinking of Hawaii too when I asked that question. So, aside from the consequences, you know, the smoke plume and the ash and such, is from these volcanoes, are we in danger? Are people in danger from the lava, from the,
well, go ahead. It depends on who you're talking about. Like we talked about a couple of shows back about that picture that Holly had up there of the guy playing golf with the clouds of steam and, you know, coming from the lava as well, from that volcano in the Big Island of Hawaii. And here he is playing golf while this kind of slow eruption is happening behind him. So was there danger? Well, for idiots, yeah. I mean, they didn't get out of the way. And you can see that slow-moving lava was cooking houses in this neighborhood. So in that respect, yes. In another aspect of volcanoes of the kind we're seeing now, throwing up dust clouds and ash, you know, up to maybe 7 miles high, these things start to orbit the planet in high-altitude jet streams and occlude the sun, which may last for several months in some cases. And that affects growing seasons. That can affect us. If we have something like the volcano down there, or the caldera in North Island, New Zealand at Lake Taupo, if that eventually goes here sometime soon, the dust cloud that it will throw up could block the sun for days, if not months, because it'll be recirculated. When it happened last time with that particular caldera, the Chinese astronomers recorded, I think it was 3 days of darkness where it was so bad it occluded the sun in the northern hemisphere over China, which got their attention, obviously, but then it passed. And the dust and stuff then settles over crops and things. These have got to be washed away by rain so that you can, you know, have plant life breathing again to produce and grow. So, yeah, it's not an isolated event. When this happens over in the Philippines or in New Zealand or in Russia or wherever along the Ring of Fire, we're not immune to the effects of it. It's a long-term environmental threat.
And I think it'll be 40 years this May that Mount St. Helens erupted. So I remember watching that.
Yeah. I think there's a new movie being made by this Christian television group that made the Genesis movie. I think they're making one now which does cover the effects in Mount St. Helens. comparing them to the formation of the Grand Canyon, you know, the layers that form so quickly. So instead of taking millions of years to form the Grand Canyon type event in Mount St. Helens, they did it in a few months, maybe a couple of years total, forming these layer after layer, which normal, you know, in the geological reports, they say that takes, you know, centuries and eons to form. But one guy did his doctoral dissertation, a Christian fellow, showing that that it can be done in months to years, a few years, and it looks like it's been, you know, for millions of years forming. Same kind of stuff that you see in the Grand Canyon. I mean, how can you have millions of years of sedimentation form in the Grand Canyon with a tree that's down at the very bottom of it growing up through all that? Well, it didn't grow up through that. It was because it was already grown and before the multiple layers were deposited around it. So that tells you that it happened rapidly. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been the rest of that tree, you know, all the way up through the formation of the layer. So,
thing makes to consider. Sense to me. Yeah. Okay.
What was that guy's name in the $6 Million Man? What was the actor's name?
Lee Majors.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not the one. I was trying to think of what the guy that wrote that dissertation was called. It was something after one of those Superman type movies. The actor's name. Anyway. I'll think of it later when it's not necessary, but.
Okay.
All right. Now back over to the show images page. Look at slide 48 at the click on the text down there. And I'll just read this for those who aren't onto the website with the computer at the moment. I got this email, last week after the show. And, you know, when I talked about that angel that came into my room at the hospital and rubbed that salve on my back, and it helped my gunshot wound to almost seal up completely overnight so that surgery wasn't necessary. And it was an angel, you know, it just disappeared. And the one I saw was kind of like a teenager in height, not really tall, but and a candy striper type structure to her dress and her, you know, her nurse uniform with a little head thing. But it was like the World War II style. And this lady that I didn't know and had heard the show wrote this email to me. It's about two paragraphs. She says, "My name is Emily, longtime listener, obviously, of your show. Hope this finds you well. I was listening to Hagman and heard your story about the nurse angel. My jaw dropped because of the first time in about 23 years I heard someone who has nearly the same story as I do, except my nurse came in about an hour later around 10 p.m. in this tiny hospital. She appeared to be of Asian ethnicity and dressed almost World War II era. She didn't say anything but was very, very sweet and gentle. She injected fluid through my IV. I felt a strong heat and burn as it entered into my vein. She quietly left the hospital room after this injection. Next day, I had miracle upon miracles in healing from my injuries, including canceled procedures and surgeries due to no longer needed after the healing. The two nurses in the small hospital had no idea who this particular nurse was, and they were positive they were the only two nurses there that evening. I haven't ever heard anyone else who has the same story and never could come up with even a theory as to suggest what the injection was until you mentioned possible nanites. As you might guess, I'm at the absolute edge of my seat hoping to learn more about what might have happened that night." And she says, "Any research ideas for me to dig into," which at this point I don't have any. But I wonder if other of your listeners have heard of similar type events with, you know, nurses in hospitals or, you know, in war zones, I guess, sometimes just appear and then disappear after helping the individual be healed. Cool story, though.
Yeah, it is. And folks, if you have a story like that you want to share, studio@HagmanReport.com. That's studio@HagmanReport.com. Or to Standeo at what email do you prefer, Stan?
Oh, Standeo@Standeo.com.
Okay. Standeo@Standeo.com. Easy enough. So pass along your stories if you've got them. And please make sure they're legitimate. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. No need to make them up.
That's right.
I've got the links crossed on slide 43 and 44, but they're all kind of about the same thing. If you look at slide 43 and click on it, on the text, that's the story for the slide 44. So I'm going to do that. It's understanding Iran's end times eschatology, the Mahdi and the mosque. Now, we know that they are expecting the Mahdi, which we would probably call the Antichrist, to appear in the last days of this age. And that's when Islam is going to, you know, take over the world. Now, in the Iranian holy city of Qom, Q-O-M, I guess that's how you say it, they show this mosque with a red flag up on the top of it. They started flying now. And it's a symbolic gesture, like, you know, when you fly the flag for half mast or whatever. But in this case, this flag, this red flag, intended to send a message to the Shiite Muslims. Those are the radical terrorist types all over the globe. And the message was, according to Shiite tradition, a red flag represents both blood spilled unjustly and a call for revenge. Now, this is a signal that Iran is not through. The Shiite terrorists are not through. So, this warns us right there.
Okay. The hoisting of this flag, broadcast on Iranian television. Okay. And they can also, act through proxy groups like Hezbollah and other terrorist groups as well, right?
I mean, yeah.
All right.
It's not a time to sit on our laurels and say, oh, we got the bad guy and everything's over. If anything, we should be more cautious and, you know, alert to what may happen to us here in either cities or country areas, because Soleimani's people have said that we will get you wherever you are, you know, out in the country. No place is going to be safe. So small towns, you can look out too. Keep an eye. In fact, 3 or 4 years back, I remember passing a truck here in Pueblo West, Colorado, which is a tiny little town, maybe 100,000 people or so in the whole county. And this truck came, I kind of crossed it at a right turn, and it was going past me, going the other direction, obviously. And there were two young fellows in there. I say, you know, young fellows probably in their 30s to 40s. And they were both wearing Palestinian headbands, you know, with the scarf thing that looked like Arafat's little black symbols on a white base. And I thought at the time, do I call somebody and tell them we've got a bunch of Arab nuts here driving around like this? Or was this just a joke? These guys are doing it. So I didn't call, but they were here. And I don't know whether they were Middle Eastern or just, you know, local guys clowning around. But they can reach out and touch us. Look. Soleimani reached out and put a personal letter to the Secretary of Defense over in the Pentagon, and nobody knew how it got there, but it was written by hand by Soleimani and delivered to his desk while the Secretary wasn't there. But anyway, if they can do that to the Department of Defense.
And I hope people really understand the gravity of that and the significance of that. That's really incredible. When you said that initially, there was a big response saying, wow, you know, first time I've heard that. That's something. That's for sure.
Now the text underneath, slide 44 is for the picture on slide 43. So if you click on that slide 44 text, it takes you over to prophetic, writings in Jeremiah about, which we think is Iran, or a big portion of Iran. And you can read through that. It predicts that Elam will be struck at the foremost place of its strength. I'll break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might. And you can see in the map there, it's kind of on the western side of Iran, down toward the Gulf of the Arabian Gulf. It used to be called the Persian Gulf. Now, if Iran tries to strike Israel, and it covers this in this article here, then it might see that it's heavily damaged by something, whether it be missiles or failure of the missiles, turn on themselves or whatever. It'll be damaged severely for trying to attack Israel, and it's probably going to be a nuclear attack that goes bad and gets blown up, you know, before it even leaves Iran. Anyhow, that's an interesting thing just to read about the prophecies in Jeremiah that affect Iran.
All right.
I do think that enough of Iran will survive whatever judgment is coming at the moment to join with Russia and China to invade the United States. I mean, things are shaping up this way. China is so at threat by our economic policies that President Trump has put out there in trade. And I agree with what he's done, but it's so incensed the Chinese that they've been called out for lying, cheating, stealing, and you know, stealing intellectual property and all kinds of things and overcharging on their import duties and stuff. They've been caught out. Russia's been caught out on a number of other issues, and I think partially related to North Korea. So all these things do tend to shape the formation of World War III, or at least the threat of it on the planet. And this is going to usher in the need for a global leader to allegedly be able to stop war and bring peace. That's our Antichrist we're talking about. So look at all those kind of things and realize that we're at the doorstep of, you know, the identifying the appearance of the Antichrist. As I understand it, the Christian church, the believers that are caught up in the rapture, whatever that is, will not be here to see the revealing of the Antichrist. So even when I try to, as others do, when I try to list potential candidates for the Antichrist of this age, I put, you know, the proviso, and here's, could be this one, could be that one, here's why, and list those. One of those may actually be the Antichrist. If I'm taken up in a rapture, I won't be able to see which one it is except from wherever I go in that rapture. But for those left behind, they will see this, the imagery and the explanation I've got on the website, and many others who've also done this kind of thing to try to help people put an ID on the Antichrist, his characteristics, and where he comes from, that kind of stuff. They'll be able to see these things that we told people to be aware of, even though we weren't sure which one the Antichrist would be. We gave a selection, you know, of a stable of potential candidates. And if they see that this guy comes and does what we were talking about, they will know that they've been left behind because, you know, they were a bit foolish and not getting prepared. So anyway, that's, you can see that down on slide 13, I think it is. You can link to my Antichrist postings that I update it periodically. And by the way, I'm still, oh, sorry, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, for new viewers and listeners, I know I've asked you this before, and I know we've spoken about this before. Do you believe, Stan, that, let's presume for the sake of this question that the Antichrist in the person is alive today. Do you believe that, that person knows his role in end times?
You know, he may know that his role, he feel that his role is to be a great leader, military leader, and that kind of stuff. But do we know if it's, you know, if he, hold on, let me just turn that phone off. Does he know that he's the Antichrist or Imam Mahdi, that's supposed to be a good guy in the Arab culture? I don't know, but certainly fairly well in the beginning, he will use, as Daniel says, he will use the weapons of war, the technology supplied by an alien god or alien gods that he supports. He doesn't worship, but he honors them. So these alien gods, I think, are probably what people are going to think the UFO occupants and stuff are when they're really just fallen ones from the heavens that have been cast down to earth. But
got it. Okay.
I use a number of sources. A couple of them are extra biblical, like Nostradamus type things, or maybe some of the Hopi prophecies. But where they seem to fit in with biblical prophecies, which are my guideline, then I do mention them. And like with Soleimani, I mentioned that in Nostradamus, one of the quatrains says the Antichrist of this age will have a 27-year war. Well, that can't be Soleimani because he's only been at war for 20 years and then he's dead. But is he dead? Was there a body double used and he will reappear and start a 7-year tribulation, which will finish his 27-year period? Don't know, but it's an interesting kind of thought. And then with Mohammed bin Salman, Nostradamus said the Antichrist of this age would have be called Mabus, M-A-B-U-S. So I looked, and they call Prince bin Salman MBS in the court, you know, in the palace. And because he had his cousin, Mohammed bin Nayef, which is called MBN, they use their initials to separate the two Mohammeds. Now, Prince Salman has formed in the last 4 years an Arabic union of about 30 Arab nations, an Arabic union, AU. And Mabus, in the typical way that Nostradamus wrote, has a code in the name Mabus. There's three consonants, MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, and in the middle of all that is two vowels, the Arabic union, AU. So I don't know. These are things, patterns that I see and throw out for consideration, but in my opinion, the ultimate source for all the information on the Antichrist and the false prophet are in the Bible. And so if it doesn't agree with that, then kick it out. So,
I agree. And that's, so if anyone has a problem with that, folks, you heard Stan's explanation. I don't think there's anything wrong with that process. So thank you for doing that.
Right, right. I guess you saw a couple of weeks back where the star Beetlejuice has been shrinking. I cover this in slide 49 and 51. In 51, if you click on the picture, you'll see in the last 4 years that it has decreased in light output, and you can measure it there. You know, it's quite significant. Normally, when a supernova or supergiant like this, a red giant, collapses, it's beginning to go through an explosive phase where it will become a supernova. And mind you, it's probably already done it if it's going to, because the light from this star takes 634 years, something like that, to get to us. It's 642 light years away, which is a distance that light would travel in 642 years at the current speed of light. Anyway, I looked at that and I thought, wow, let's see if we can find a picture of that star. It's close enough that a telescope can image it. And that's what I've got in slide 49 in the picture. If you click on that, that's an actual, telescopic image of this star, Betelgeuse. And on the right side of it is a drawing of circles around it to show its size relative to our entire solar system out to Jupiter, well, even out to Saturn. This star is 1,400 times the size of our star. So when it goes supernova, it will release a lot of energy. Now, as I say, it may have already done that sometime in the last 642 years, but it's taken a while for the light and the radiation to get to us. So, you know, the fact that we're seeing such a rapid change in the size of this over the last 2 years, 4 years even, it's got to make you, think, well, okay, is it an exponential curve and we're going to see the explosion shortly? I mean, this change in diameter being that rapid tells us we're close to the point where it's going to collapse and go bang. Will we receive radiation here that is a threat? Maybe some types of cosmic radiation, but normally our sun provides a blanket for us in its solar wind and, the particles that it distributes in the solar system around the planets with that spiral arm that spins around from the sun. Who knows? But it is an interesting thing to consider.
What we're seeing today from that is actually what happened in the year 1358 or something like that, right?
Where are we now? 600, in the 1350, somewhere in that region. That was happened on that star, Beetlejuice, 642 years ago. So who knows?
I think my math is off, but yeah, I got it. Okay.
Look, I don't know. I just did it quickly.
A long time ago. Yeah.
That works for me during the beginning of the Crusades, I think. Hmm. Okay. Slide 46. If you click on the text, that shows you what a red giant explosion would look like. This did happen. It was recorded on several telescopes from May of 2002 up to February 2004. I think they're still getting images on it, but this is a star in the Monoceros cluster. Now you can see that in the space of 8 months in 2002, it exploded and then went out through the stars around it, expanding. Now, if you go back over to slide 46 and click on the picture, you will get a little animation that I put together to show this whole explosion. I think it will. Let me just see. Oh, no, sorry. No, go over to slide 47. That's the movie from European Space Agency. Just click on that. Turn your sound up.
Yeah, just give us a second here. Wow. Okay. 8 month long. Okay. So
now go over to the European Space Agency, the slide to the right of the 47, slide 47, and click on that.
Okay.
There you go.
Now,
kind of gets your attention, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'd say.
Oh, well, got to have a bit of fun. Okay, slide 50 is saying that our solar wind coming from these coronal holes on the sun, this is on the 12th, the effects of it should be hitting us today and tomorrow. If you click on the picture and enlarge it there, it's a continuation of what we talked about last week about the north pole of the sun inverting. And it's that kind of dark area there at the very, near the top. It's where it should have a magnetic lines going into the north pole of the sun. It's not. The magnetic lines are going into a dark spot down from that a bit. You can see the white lines going into it. That's the old north pole of the sun in the process of flipping upside down, going toward the equator and flipping upside down, and then a new reverse pole will appear at the top of the sun. So our sun is undergoing a pole reversal, which it does periodically. With everything else happening, I'm kind of watching this very closely to see if other ejecta and flares and coronal mass ejections continue to occur. We're certainly having the solar wind coming out of that hole now, aimed right at us. So, something for you to keep an eye on. Now, there's an article, I think it was on our website there. Let me just see, standdavid.com. Xenobots. I'm trying to see if I've got that here. Well, anyway, I'll just tell you this. There's an article on CNN, the fake news channel, about DARPA, who was behind the funding of this, making biological robots, self-healing robots using stem cells from frogs. And they can get these shapes like donuts, C-shaped looking, I don't know, like a brain almost, but it can grab stuff. And this is what is publicly being released. When you see a biological robot, that's what I call the grays that people talk about, the UFO aliens have these little grays, these tall grays. I think these are biological robots at a human type level, but without a soul. They're so soulless when they operate on people or test on them or whatever. They're immune to cries of pain or fear or whatever. They just go on like a machine doing whatever they're going to do on the abducted person. So when they say we've got biological robots here that we can now train to do things for us, even at a cellular level in the body, just think of what happened if instead of nanites, these were put in and they go driving around inside your blood cells, in your circulatory system, doing all kinds of things. I mean, even into your brain, if they can get past the blood-brain barrier. Anyway, these are areas that we're doing research into. But you can weaponize this kind of stuff. I mean, it's just
wow. Why? I mean, why? Because we can, I guess.
I guess. I mean, the argument might be made. Let me just change that here.
No worries.
Sorry. No worries. All the phones are ringing. Phones in my vest. Phones on the desk. Hi.
You're a busy guy. But wow. Just thinking about this. I don't know, Stan. Are these a bunch of really intelligent people, or am I just really, really stupid? Because I can't even think that way. I mean,
wait. Look at what we talked about earlier in the show about the angels that came in and put something into that woman's vein that helped her heal a lot overnight, and the something they rubbed in a cream on my back, which might have been some sort of a transdermal application of nanites or biological robots. That's for good. I mean, I healed quickly and she healed quickly. I mean, a lot quicker than I did from apparently what she said, but, these things go in and, restore, damaged tissue and stuff. So that's a good application, but, with an evil mind behind it, it becomes a source of toxin delivery, of altering the mental state of the people that it goes into. I mean, you could weaponize darn near anything.
Sure.
So I'm sure a lot of the scientists were doing a great thing saying, look what we can do, DARPA comes in and says, oh, that's really good. You know, like, we'd like to sponsor that. We'll give you the money and equipment you need to continue. Oh, okay, thanks. But then the DARPA gets what they want. They wander off with a weapon.
That's just happy thoughts and puppy dog tales. And
oh, speaking of happy thoughts.
Yes.
I think you've been watching the Henry and Meghan kind of drama unfold, you know, the soap opera on international level.
A little bit. I'm aware of it.
How did you miss it? Anyway, I saw something today on Fox News, which I put up because it says, Burger King offers Prince Harry a fast food job after he steps back from the royal duties. And of course it's tongue in cheek, but, because Burger King has a little crown they put on as part of their symbol. They were offering, said, look, we'll give you a crown even, you know, you can come work for us and, you know, you can be a king of a Burger King. So it's the level of stupidity that's surrounding this whole thing with Henry and Meghan. Poor guy is, I think he's been twisted around her finger, you know, and it's just, he's maybe one day he'll kind of wake up and see what's happening to him. But the fact that he and Meghan are both making friends with the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation and Obama worries me a great deal.
Yes. Yes. Well, in your, I think in your shame, hall of shame here, speaking of Obama, where did I just see that? Yeah. Obama getting a hall of shame. No. Where did I see that? I just saw Obama getting a prize for being Obama, the Obamas.
Yeah, let's see here. I'm trying to find it.
Did I just lose my mind here? What I know I saw it.
No, Holly had it somewhere, and she's gone upstairs.
Anyway, yeah, it was just ridiculous, the hubris of these people. The incredible, regardless. I mean, it's just,
the Hall of Shame from yesterday, I think. This is the new page. Okay. I don't see it.
All right.
Yeah.
And the other thing I love, I just want to mention this, okay, given the fact that we're all dog lovers here, my studio dog lady would do the same thing. Dog hilariously honks horn while waiting for his owner.
I saw that. Wasn't that cool?
Yes.
I mean, I...
It's fun because I think we have to laugh, even in the face of all this stuff that's going on. We have to laugh. We have to enjoy ourselves. And yeah. And thank you, Holly, too. I should say publicly thank you for the 20 most pet friendly international airlines ranked. Pet friendly is not pet safe though. Yeah. So
yeah, even Qantas that we use. I mean, we researched all the airlines and dog fatality or pet fatality rates with flying aircraft, you know, internationally before we took our dogs from Australia up to here.
Yep.
And Qantas came out, you know, number one. So we took Qantas and sure enough, our dogs arrived safe and sound and were very happy to see us there at quarantine when we let them out. But since then, like recently, Qantas had a dog that died. I think Alaskan Airlines or something had one die from, you know, too cold in the cargo hold.
Yeah.
And people need to, if they're going to be flying their pets, you know, especially internationally, but certainly from Alaska to the States or whatever, you need to be sure the airline you're using has a good record for the pets. They'll tell you all kinds of things, but what you don't consider is if the flight gets sidelined or sidetracked or parked in an airport for a while because it's got to repair something, your pets have to have food and water. And have to have temperature control where it's usable, and a lot have died while the plane was sitting on the tarmac someplace, you know, waiting to take off or, you know, refuel or whatever. And, you know, it's a risk. So you do need to research the airlines that are the most friendly. I think United comes up on the bottom of the list, as I recall, because even when we were looking at it in 2000, they weren't pet friendly, no matter what they say.
I don't know. I would just buy my baby's seat next to me. Can you do that? Well, you can take ducks. Well, I don't know.
It's your care animal. I think you can, but you have to pay for the seat. Oh. But hey, But with our guys, we'd have to probably get them in charge of the plane because they're that vocal. Put them up front to fly the sucker, you know. Little Bella here, I tell you what, if you call her and say game, no matter what you're saying or talking about, she's up, her ears perk up, and she's, hey, okay, game, game. Oh, dear. But anyway.
It's so great to have dogs. I love my dog. Oh, Barbara sent me this. You can't see this, Stan. But German Shepherds, all on this tie. What a great tie. German Shepherds. I got this from a viewer. Barbara sent this to me for Christmas. It's a tie with German Shepherds on it. So.
Excellent. Well done. You know, I don't know. I think people that don't get along with dogs and cats and, you know, these kind of pets that are really kind of interactive, I think they're missing something in their psyche because they'd be so much happier, you know, with these pets to love you, and you can love them back. And, you know, they're very forgiving. You might have to yell at them one day, but the next day they're back and forgot all about it, and we're friends again, you know?
That's right.
We'd be lost without our guys here. We definitely say that, you know, every few days we look at each other and say, isn't that cute? And it's amazing. It's relaxing.
The unconditional love that they show, and I think a lot of times pet owners are too cavalier about having a, you know, getting a dog and then, when we say they're part of our family, they're part of our family. My dog as part of the family, you know, and I don't want to, I certainly wouldn't want to leave that dog.
Hold on a second. Yes.
When he got granted the patent.
Ah. Right. Okay.
22 out of 25 claims were granted, which is
okay, Holly just said on the other line that I hung up on, it was my partner Tim calling, said that our patent has been approved on the MP Shield. You know, you have a waiting process, but of our 25 claims, 22 of them have been granted, which is kind of unheard of to have that many. Okay, it was granted on January the 3rd. We're just now hearing about it, but he's in Washington at the moment. But wow.
Breaking news, that? Folks. Congratulations. Yeah. Pop the champagne.
you bet.
Yeah, so those people who have purchased this, the EMP shield, the patents, doesn't affect the end user, but, it solidifies your position, right?
It does.
Okay.
We have excellent patent attorneys that, send stuff back and forth to us saying you need to do, this, you need to claim this, things we'd have never thought about, but it wraps that thing up except for China who cheats.
Yeah.
But with the president we've got at the moment, I think that we have protection, especially since he knows about our product and we've had a representative in the Oval Office with him. So, and there are a few other things happening, which Tim's doing in Washington at the moment. It's essential to national security.
Well,
so
I feel honored that, first one to congratulate you outside your home for the patent approval. My goodness. That's great.
Yeah. We're quite excited about it. Obviously I've just heard about it, but, wow. I'll have to call Tim after we get through here. What was I going to say? Patents. For end users, for individuals, perhaps I didn't say this enough at the beginning of the show, talking about Iran, but Iran is going to try to hit, so is North Korea, with EMP type weaponry to soften us up for a physical invasion of the country. They're using international shipping lanes and not coming, you know, too close to the shore. They can use short range missile launches of EMP bombs, and there's no way we can stop them all. There's just no way. So this is one of the things they're going to do to us. So you better look up about EMP threats and attacks and see how you can prepare your home and cars and vehicles and stuff, you know, to survive that. And then after that, what you do to have power yourself, you know, with alternate energy from solar or wind or whatever. And Tim and I are working on that, too. We had to get this patent and this company all out of the way or doing its thing, and then we're going to work on the alternate energy, which will always be there.
Okay. All right. Well, and folks, there it is on your screen. EMP Shield, make sure you go to empshield.com/Hagman, or that gives you the automatic discount for that you've been kind enough to give our listeners and viewers. Or if you just go to the generic website, you make sure you use Hagman at the checkout for a discount. But thank you, Stan, for making that. You know, there's just something about having EMP protection. And this is not a sales pitch, but it just makes you feel a little bit more prepared, I guess.
It won't stop them from knocking down your door if you have ground troops, but it might allow you to have detection and news services and ham radios. We've got a network of ham radio users that are using our antenna protectors for the EMP. We will definitely need them to get the news and, you know, from county or city to city when, you know, everything else is down. So it's kind of be like the community newspaper, except it'll be ham radios. And Tim's a member of the governmental level of that as well, in civil defense. So we have our foot in the door there to pass information back and forth that way. People just don't realize how close we are to, you know, trouble, real trouble, right here in River City.
Yes, yes, indeed. We only have about four minutes left, my brother.
Okay.
So whatever you think is important, boy, by the way, Iran, China, and Russia, I think back to 73, early 70s, and when China was opened by Nixon, I don't know. And then I think from there to 79, you know, Khomeini coming in February, and then the hostage thing in November. Wow, things are just happening so quickly.
Hey, I found the thing you were looking for, Crazyville for Barack and Michelle Obama.
Yes.
Oscar nomination for just being Obama's.
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean, you should get one for being Stan in Holly for Holly. I'm telling you, you know, why not? It's, if that's the standard.
He got his stuff even before he took office. I mean, you know, just gosh.
Yeah. I don't know. Hey, I got
it. As far as it's Nobel Prize, what I was talking about before he even took office. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just, what do you think, if things go sideways, you know, by the time the convention rolls around, you think Michelle Obama might stick her toe in the water in the elections or no?
I don't know. You know, the selection they've got now is so frightful in the Democrats. I mean, we're approaching socialist communist, you know, for the leaders and the Democratic pantheon of clients or potential, you know, presidential candidates. And I never thought we'd see this day in America, but this is, we're going to be at war between now and the elections, or right at the elections. It's going to so severely divide us.
Yes, I believe that. In Virginia, you know, this, I know people going to, Coach Dave Dunbar is going to be going to Virginia and, in support of the pro Second Amendment people. I look at Virginia. I look at, what happened in to California. I look at everything and boy, you know, we're divided so severely. You're right. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if there's anything that could bring us back from this brink.
No, I'm afraid that the judgment is going to fall on the United States and at the hand of our Creator, and rightly so. We've just let it go so badly. Mm.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we've reached the end of the program this evening, and I just want to say thank you to both you, Holly, and the fur babies there. I appreciate you guys more than you know. Holly, congratulations, and Stan and your partner on the patents. That's great news. I love it. EMP Shield, folks, go to standeo.com, click on that link, and of course support Stan and Holly on Patreon. Thank you for your original content there and for everything you do. I really appreciate it.
Thank you Doug and Eric and doggy crew there, canine crew. Go on the internet patents office if you want to, and you can search for Standeo and then patent HEED. And you'll see my patent application, which the patent office rejected and then gave almost identical circuit a patent to them in February of last year. However, what Tim and I are developing is based on this and will be done by the patent attorneys that are going to be really super.
Okay. So if we search HEED
HEED patent application Standeo.
Okay.
And it should come up.
All right. Okay. In the meantime, however, 22 out of 25 successfully granted. Way to go, brother. All right.
Thank you. See you next week.
All right. Lord willing. Amen. Folks, that'll do it. End of the program. I want to say thank you so very much for your belief, your support. Coach Dave Dobmeier going to be on Boots on the Ground in Richmond. Let's keep a prayer out for him. That's coming up Monday. Tomorrow, Pastor David Langford live with me. Thursday, Paul McGuire.